great pleasure of welcoming on the French program on SBS Jean-Michel Maujean, who is a researcher, he's a composer, and his project is recording melodic calls of songbirds in the remote areas and forests of WA. Welcome, Jean-Michel.
Thank you, Jean, for having me. Yeah, lovely to be here today.
Tell us more about this passion of recording melodic calls of songbirds.
Yeah, well, the history of it actually, as I understand, originates from France with Messiaen. So Messiaen, he devoted a big part of his career transcribing the birdsong of the world. He traveled to Australia and to various places and notated birdsong, and then he was inspired by that in his orchestral compositions. So he was the first that I know of that kind of blended a scientific practice with the creation of art. You know, there'd been composers in the past that had drawn on birdsong, but he was introducing a systematic practice of trying to document and then use for artistic purposes at the same time.
What sort of instruments did he have? It's just from memory.
His principal instrument, he was an organist. Mm-hmm. And then he also was very big proponent of an instrument called the onde matinot. I don't know if that translates to something, but O-N-D-E-S and then M-A-R-T-I-N-O-T, matinot. And that was a keyboard instrument that had, you'd wear a ring on your thumb, and if you slid your thumb, it would sound like a theremin. You know, it had like this wavering pitch sound that you could control. But when he was in the field, he was just using pencil and paper and recordings to tape. You know, so he would listen and just write in music notation what his interpretation of the bird song was. And some people have analyzed his transcriptions. They've suggested maybe he wasn't particularly accurate, but that he was probably composing while he was transcribing. You know, so he had a piece of music in his mind, and then he'd hear the bird and use that as a muse, you know, for the piece that he was writing at that time. So, yeah, today we're very lucky. We have computers and ways to measure pitch and frequency, you know, so it's, and then as a result, that practice can improve as well. You know, we can develop on it further, you know, on the shoulders of those that have come before. So.
And what particular birds are you recording?
So it is open, but the family, they're called songbirds. So that's they account for about a quarter of the world's bird species. And I've identified about seven. So we've got the magpie, there's the butcher bird, there's one called the golden whistler and the grey shrike thrush. But also there is an open-ended component to this study where I may be in the field out in the bush and I hear something that sounds beautiful and I don't know what species of bird it is, but I'll record it and then find out later and potentially include that into the research as well. So there's also a community element too. So there might be listeners that are interested and know of a beautiful bird, and I'd be more than happy to hear any suggestions of places and birds about, you know, at this stage it's in Western Australia, but I'm just about to embark on travel across Western Australia and will happily take suggestions of places on board as part of that. So.
How deep into the forest do you travel?
I've got a four-wheel drive, so I can go off the beaten track, you know, obviously within reason, not too wild. But then once I'm off, I don't really go through dense scrub or anything like that. It's kind of close to where the road is. And that's just a safety thing, you know, because often to get good recordings, it's ideal to be by oneself because there's less noise, there's less movement to interfere. But you need to do it safely as well, you know. So it's also more snakes when you go into denser bush. So I find that the snakes, they're not really aggressive. They're not really a problem. But when you're by yourself, you don't want to take that risk, you know. So you just got to play it safe.
Especially now in the summer season. Yeah.
Yeah. This is peak peak snake. You know, I've had a few encounters where I've seen them, but each time they've all been moving away. You know, I've been close, but it's not really in their interest as a general rule to come and take a bite out of you. You know, it's only really, I hear that the most common is when people try and kill the snake is when they'll get bitten. That's the most common occurrence. So typically if I've been face to face, it goes its way and I go mine, and you know, no harm done.
So you don't travel with a team. It's mainly you, your computer, yeah, and your recording equipment.
Yeah. Yeah. Occasionally I'll go with a few people as well, but I actually find it would be nice to have, say, one assistant, because I'm getting video and audio at the same time. But I typically find that it's easier to do the field documentation when I'm on my own. You know, birds, they're often naturally timid, you know, because they've got so many predators about, and it can take some time to potentially develop some rapport, or for them to at least not see you as a threat. And when you have more people, there's more variables, you know, so yeah, it does make it a little bit harder. So yeah.
And Jean-Michel, how do you describe the style of music you compose from the recordings you make?
I mean, it doesn't subscribe to a genre per se, but I guess the aim is, it's finding a bridge between art and science and music that's accessible to people, you know? So I don't try and make it complicated. With each piece, the recording of the bird song will play, and that's the primary focal point. So that will act like a melody in normal music. And then I will write lines that complement, work with the bird song, you know? But they've like I say, they're quite simple. And grounded with what the bird song is doing. So that, yeah, the aim is not something really striking. You know, the more complicated practice can come later. Right now it's more developing these techniques, you know, and starting small, crawling before I can walk, you know, as a musician. So, yeah.
And is this all part of your work as a PhD student at WAPA?
Yes. So the topic is called Composing with West Australian Birdsong. And so the culmination of this thesis is a recital where at the end of 2021, this year, I'll be playing an hour's worth of the compositions, and I'll also submit a write-up of that process, you know, from field recording to composition to performance, you know, and the developments that have happened along the way for that to happen. So yeah, it's central to that research. Yeah.
And tell us more about the areas of WA that you are going to explore to record those songbirds.
Sure. So I've only plotted out the first part because, you know, in a few months' time, I'll learn more from speaking to people along the way. But at this stage, so I'm based in Albany, which is down the bottom of WA. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to head heading towards the southwestern corner, not almost there. I'm going to head east to a place called Fitzgerald River National Park. And that's about halfway between Albany and Esperance. And it's a very significant biodome with something like one third of West Australia's plant species, huge variety in animals in there, you know, very significant forest and hotspot. From there, I'll head further east and north, and there's this place called the Great Western Woodlands, which is the largest temperate woodland area in the world, bigger than England in terms of land mass. And essentially what we've got is a large area of wilderness that has had minimal human interference, you know, and gives greater chance that we can get animals, bird song in, you know, without influence from human machines and whatnot, you know. So if you look at WA, there's a area in the southwest called the Wheat Belt, which has all been farmed from agriculture. And I'll be following up just outside that Wheat Belt area. So the Greater Western Woodland is like towards the bottom heading up. And then I'll end up in the Pilbara at around Mount Magnet, which is getting about halfway up WA. I'd love to go to the Kimberley, and I'll figure that out further as I progress on my way, you know. But that's the first part that's kind of is set. So yeah.
So, Jean-Michel, if we've got listeners who are interested in what you're doing, is there like a website of yours where they can actually reach you and get in touch with you and perhaps send the recordings of the songbirds that they may come across here on the East Coast?
Yeah, there is. So I've got a portfolio online. I'd probably have to share a link. It's kind of hard to dictate what it is. And then I've also got a YouTube channel as well. That's my name. In YouTube. And I progressively do upload compositions and visualized field recordings as well onto that site. So yeah, they're good options to go to. And then, as I said previously, towards the end of 2021, I'll be performing the Whopper. Output of this research in Perth. Yeah, Whopper in Perth. And that'll be a free concert. So the date isn't finalized at this stage, I'm guessing about November, but that will become more apparent as we get closer to it, you know. And it's also, I'm welcoming musicians as well, amateur to whatever level, to participate. There's a strong community component to this, you know, as opposed to virtuosic playing. It's more let's make something nice and grounded and blur that boundary between performer and audience, you know. It's a group participation event. So yeah,
Jean-Michel, thank you so much for coming on to the French program on SBS, and best of luck for your project.
Thank you so much, that was lovely. Yeah, take care.